Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hey, welcome to Abundant Life. I'm so excited today. We've actually got a teaching recorded live of Carly ministering recently. So we're going to switch over and watch that. I know you're going to be really blessed. She's teaching the Word of God in a powerful way. So she's my favorite teacher. So we're going to head on over now and watch this live event.
I feel like this is the beginning of something. Amen. You know, Ashley said that we are kind of stepping out a little bit, and this is the first time that we've done an event. And you know, we have some good friends. We have so many people that have volunteered. Before we get going, I just want to say thank you to all the people that are volunteering here today. Amen. Amen. Good job. Because it really does take a village to make these things happen. Amen. And pretty much we just get to show up and do the easy part of teaching. Okay. But everyone else has to do the hard stuff. But friends of ours, Autumn and Jeff, they've been telling us for probably over 18 months now, you need to do an event. You need to do an event. You need to do an event. And we're like, no. We don't want to do an event. Okay. And then January rolls around and the Lord's like, you need to do an event, you need to do an event, you need to do an event. So we're like, okay, yes. And so here we are, right? And it's so neat how God puts everything together, isn't it? He gave us the title for this Abundant Life, and we did not know that we would be having it on Easter Saturday, right? And then it turned out that Easter Saturday was the only day the church was actually available, right? So I'm like, praise Jesus, you have set this up. You know, I started meditating on this, and it's so neat because, you know, we just celebrated Good Friday. Isn't it amazing how 3 days can change everything, right? You know, on the Friday, the disciples, they saw Jesus go down into the grave. Their world was over. It was broken. They were shattered. They were hiding in the upper room. They were scared for their lives, terrified that they were going to be next. Amen. The Messiah that was supposed to be their king, that was supposed to become king and rule and reign and set everything right and make everything good, was dead and in the grave. And they could not see that Sunday was coming. Amen. So you may be at Friday right now, but Sunday is coming. Amen. And we are gonna see abundant life. I know many of you have come expecting, and we have been praying for you for a long time. And we know that this is your weekend of breakthrough, because the devil has stolen from you for way too long. Amen. It's time to take back some of the ground the enemy has stolen from you. Amen. All right, so we're going to start off here in, this is 3 John chapter verse 2. And it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." You know, in the little program here that you've got, I just read this. It's really good, actually. I should read these things more often. I should find out what I'm teaching. Look, it says, "Giant killers, learn how to spot the giants in your life and overcome them." Okay. So, but you know, prospering in our soul, if we want to be in health, is as our soul prospers, right? So as we get our thinking straightened out, as we start to understand who God is in us, amen, and what he has deposited on the inside of us, and we start to get a revelation of the love of God, and, you know, realize the power and the authority that he's already packed on us in the inside of us, as we start to dwell on those things, something supernatural begins to happen. Our faith becomes alive. Amen. Philemon 1:6 says, our faith becomes effective. Who here wants effective faith? That should be all of you, right? Our faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is stuffed down in us in Jesus Christ. Amen? I added a little bit to that, okay? But basically, our soul starts to prosper, and we'll start to see ourselves be in health. And Ashley's going to talk about what it means to be in financial prosperity as well later. But we start to see victory and prosperity in our life as we start to see our soul prospering. As we start to focus our mind on everything that's good in us already, rather than on everything that's bad in our life. Amen? And here's the thing we need to remember sometimes, that when we're going through a storm, when we're going through a circumstance in life, you know, those things are huge distractions, right? They can be really distracting for us. And one of the things that I've realized when we've been dealing with giants in our own life is how much time and attention they suck out of you. Anyone ever been there, right? I mean, I'm a full-time mum and a full-time wife first, right? So I have three kids, and Ashley's the fourth child. Okay? I have the microphone now, honey. Uh-huh. And by the way, my parking is nowhere near as bad as your driving. So. But you know, when we get busy in life sometimes, we can let giants in the back door of our temple unawares. Right? We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Above the circumstances and not beneath them. Amen? We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes in the craziness of life, you know, our giants might be obvious in one respect, but in other times, they can be pretty sneaky. And you know what the devil does? He's so wily. He's so sneaky. Really, the only power he has over us is deception. So if he can't be obvious and get in through the front door, because, you know, you're watching out the front door, he'll creep in around the back, right? He'll go and check the windows of your temple and see if you can sneak in and see if he can get you believing in his power and his authority and looking at everything that's wrong with your life. Because if he knows he can do that, you know what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. He's coming to steal your joy. And if he can get your joy, he can get your strength. Amen? So when we come back to this scripture here in 3 John 2, it says that you be in health even as our soul prospers. Our health, our mental well-being, our prosperity, our success in life, in living this Christian life and being successful and victorious in every area of our life is directly linked to our thinking. Amen? People often think that healing starts in the body, but I can tell you something. You win the battle for healing in your mind first, every time. Amen? And it's the same in every area of life. Our thinking is hugely important. In John 10:10, this is where the title of this event came from, Abundant Life. It says it's the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He hadn't got anything good for you, right? He didn't have any nice packages. He's not warm and fuzzy and friendly, okay? He's got one assignment. That's to kill, steal, and destroy. Let me help you out with this because religion can mess you up. Good things come from God. Bad things come from the devil, okay? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you've got something going on in your life that falls into one of those categories, it's not from God. Amen? I can categorically tell you that. So it's the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but it says, but Jesus comes to give us life. And life what? More abundantly. Right? And that's good, amen? Here's the thing, though. There are many Christians that would just settle for life. Well, I mean, it's like going into the clearance section, you know, when you can have the filet mignon, right? Don't just settle for life. Jesus has given you abundant life. Amen? Man, why don't we just take the limits of God and believe for the best in our life? Because that's what he's come to give us. And if we're just settling for our, you know, we just want to make it through, we just want our ticket to heaven and that's all, we're just going to struggle on through this life. Man, that's not the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, right? He has called us to victory in every area of our life. And just because we might have some giants in our land right now, we'll talk about this more in a minute, it doesn't mean that God put them there, right? And it doesn't mean that that abundant life is not available. Let me tell you something for free, okay? In every word from God is more than enough power for you to fulfill it. In every word in this book is more than enough power for us to fulfill it. Isn't that the truth? God is not going to tell us something and not give us the power to see it come to pass. That would cause frustration, and he is not the author of frustration. Amen? So I started to look up the word life and abundance, and what does that mean? And if you look in the original text, and I use Strong's quite a lot, but I just did a little search on that. And in that scripture, John 10:10, that abundant life means uncommon, active, vigorous, exceedingly abundantly above, an excessive kind of life. Are you leading an exceedingly abundantly vigorous, active, uncommonly abundant life, victorious in every area at the moment? Why not? Right? You are called to. That's who you are. And we're going to start to see that our circumstances do not change our calling. Amen? We are called to victory. Victory is who we are. And just because we are going through a negative circumstance right now, that doesn't change who we really are. Amen? So I was looking through the scriptures for this and meditating, and Proverbs 23:7 came to mind. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And here's the challenge. We have a description in the Word of God of who we really are, of our true identity. But we have to choose. Ashley was talking about that that teaching, who do you think you are? Get that one, it's good for you, okay? But basically, it shows you that who we are impacts the results and our ability to walk in victory over our circumstances. If we start to identify in our life as a victim, we will become a victim. If we start to identify in our lives as a victor, we will see the victory. Our son Joshua, our middle son, he's not here today. He's actually playing soccer up north of Denver. But we love going and watching him play soccer. We travel as a family and, you know, we get the crazy soccer mum, rah, you know. Ashley loses his voice frequently because he shouts too much. I get kind of passionate about this. It's just great fun. But one thing I've realised watching Josh play soccer, when he goes out with his team, you know, sometimes they're the underdogs, right? Sometimes they know that they're playing against a team that's really, you know, higher up in the league, higher up in the rankings, won more goals than they have. And they can feel a little bit like David and Goliath. You know, we're just this little team and we're going out to fight Goliath. But the problem is, if they don't see themselves as being able to win, they've lost the game before they step on the field. They've lost it in their heart. They've lost it. And you can see them running. You can see them running with their heads down, right, rather than up and looking for the goal. Their mental attitude has a massive impact on the victory or the defeat. Either way, that game is won way back in the locker room before they even step onto the field. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, the problem is, the benefit is, we are designed to be winners, right? You are designed to succeed. God never made a loser yet, right? He's not going to start with you. Amen? But, you know, sometimes we get stuck in a rut where it feels like we just can't win. Anyone ever been there? Where everything you do just kind of crumbles, like, and nothing's working out, where, you know, your finances aren't working out, your relationships aren't working out, your health's not working out, everything seems to have gone to pot, right? And here's the problem, because we are built to win, we are created for success, that very experience is counter to our own nature. It's not part of us. It doesn't feel right because it isn't right. Amen? But there is many things that we can do to turn that around, to tap into the new nature that we've been given in Christ. We are built to win. It says in the scriptures that hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? Anyone ever been believing God for something for a long time and not gotten anywhere? Right? What does that do to your faith? Right? I meet a lot of people that come for prayer and I could be like the 100th person that's ever prayed for them. And I'm like, well, how come you've been through so many prayer ministers? Oh, well, I'm just giving it a go. I mean, I'm just hoping that God's going to heal me. I said, well, what are you hoping for now? I'm just hoping that God's going to heal me. I said, then why is it going to be any different than it was the other, you know, 100 times? Something has to change. You know, the very definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and believing different results, right? So when I'm ministering to people, I said, I don't care if you've had 100 people pray for you before. You've never had me pray for you, right? I don't pray band-aid prayers. I pray now faith is prayers. I'm going to pray for you. The life of God's going to go into you, and this is what's going to happen to your body. Can you agree with that? Oh, I like what she said, right? I want that. I'm not just a hoping and a wishing. I'm going to be a having and a taking. Amen? We need to get bold about the promises of God. Our circumstances don't change the promises of God. They're still good. They're still real. There's no expiration date on the promises of God, right? Just because we haven't seen them come into pass doesn't mean they're not true. You know, this book's been around a lot longer than we have, right? It's still good. We haven't worn it out yet. But, you know, how do we start to, if we've come into from that place of defeat, how do we turn it around? How do we change our thinking to start seeing ourselves as victors rather than victims? Because I don't know about you, but I went through a period in my life where I was sick for a long time. And sickness was my giant, okay? Well, you know, you've probably got different names for your giant. My giant was epilepsy, okay? I had many, many different giants, multiple ones. They had friends. They'd crept in the back door of the temple and made themselves comfortable on my couch, right? That's the thing with giants, you know. They'll sneak in around the back And if you're not careful, they'll make themselves so comfortable, you'll become so familiar with them, you won't even know they're taking up space in your head anymore. Right? Just think about this. If a little python slithered its way under your back door and it crept into your house and it was, you know, slithering under your kitchen counter and, you know, round your table legs and maybe just kind of winding itself around your leg as you're sitting there eating your cereal in the morning, what would you think? Oh, it's only a baby python, right? It can't do much, right? It's harmless. Don't kill the baby python, right? It's cute. Let's pet it. Let's give it a little bed and a little tank and give it some space, right? Let's come up on the couch, little baby python. We want to make you at home. Meet the family, right? Come to work with me, little baby python. Right? I'm going to grow up. I'm going to nurture you. I'm going to make space for you in my life. I'm going to adapt my life around you, little baby python. Okay? Because now you've gotten a bit bigger. Oh, I see. You want the whole couch, not just the love seat. Okay. That's okay. It's okay, little baby python. Oh, little baby python, you want my bed now too, right? And you want to eat all the food out of my cupboards. And you want to chew the way through my bank account, right? See, the problem with little giants is they grow into bigger ones. And so we have to learn to spot the giants in our thinking before they start to manifest in other areas of our life. If you want to kill a giant, you've got to spot him first, right? And we win it in our thinking first. Now, it's not hard to pray for people and people receive healing. That's the easy part, okay? The problem is them staying well once they've received their healing. I see this time and time again. I had a lady one time and she came in a wheelchair and, you know, she was completely crippled up. She got miraculously healed, got out of that wheelchair, started running around the room. It was awesome. The crowd's going wild, okay? Then her husband comes in and she goes, "Come on, dear, time to get back in your seat. We have to leave now." She walked all the way back across and sat down in the wheelchair. I'm like, what are you doing? Right? The problem is, if we receive healing or a change somehow, some sort of miracle that we've been praying for, but we don't change our thinking, we're going to find ourselves in exactly the same position again. And we heard from that lady, you know, she'd been pushed around in that wheelchair, those symptoms started to come back on her. Before long, she was in the same position that she was before. Because although she received healing in that moment, she wasn't able to keep it because she didn't change her thinking. This is really, really, really important. So I wrote this, I had an argument with my husband one day. God forbid that would ever happen to any of you, okay? Because I just know that you're just way more spiritual than I am. And so I went up, like any good wife does, I went up to our bedroom to pray, right? For that man you gave me. And while I was on my bed praying, moaning, grumbling, but calling it prayer, the Lord said, you know, he wouldn't talk to me about Ashley. I'm like, that man you gave me, that man, I can't even remember what it's about now, something trivial probably. Very, very small, honey. That man you gave me. You know, I'm the victim, right? I wanted to be the victim. I had embraced victimhood at that point, okay? All I wanted was a listening ear. I didn't want God to fix it. I just wanted him to listen, right? But all he said to me was, I don't want to talk to you about Ashley. He's my problem. Like, yeah, you're right, he is. Okay? I had an attitude. So, he said to me, let's talk about you. I said, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about him and how wrong he is. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about you and how I feel about you. How I feel about you. So I got a pen and paper out. And the Lord started to download some stuff to me faster than I could write it down. And at the time, I did not realize the importance of what he was saying to me. I didn't realize that everything he was telling me was scripture. Amen? But as I went through and started to write this down, I realized as I dwelt upon everything that the Lord had put on the inside of me and how much he loved me, and I found out he's crazy about me. Suddenly, I didn't care what Ashley had done to me, okay? Now, that was something trivial, but I started to get some revelation in other areas of my life. Hang on a second. When we understand the revelation of the love of God on the inside of us, Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. If we want to have faith that moves mountains and kills giants and helps us to walk in victory in every area of our life and walk into the abundance, vigorous, excessive life that Jesus has for us, it comes back to relationship. Relationship with the King. Amen? So I'm going to read this to you, and I want to let you know that anyone that goes back there to our resource table, they'll give you one of these for free. Okay, because there's a space up there at the top there and you can put your name in. But every one of these is what the Lord says about you. We need to start setting our identity and resetting our thinking and brainwashing ourselves with the truth rather than lies that we've had for years and years and years. Okay, because once we start to see victory in our thinking, we'll start to see victory over every area of our life. We'll start to change our identity and identify as becoming children of the King. Amen. Called into his royal family, his royal priesthood. We'll start to act like the princess that we really are. Amen. We'll start to get our royal on a little bit. So you can close your eyes if you want to, or you can just listen. But this is what the Lord says about you. I am a party waiting to happen. Angels rejoice over me. Demons flee from me. And God himself dances over me with singing. Just think about that. God dances over you. He has a little rave party every time he thinks about you. I am the bearer of good news, a minister of reconciliation, the carrier of the King of glory. I am the righteousness of Christ and a temple of the Holy Spirit. I have an unction from the Holy One and I know all things. I have the mind of Christ. Whether you think you do or not, you have the mind of Christ. Amen. And I know all things. I am anointed by God and I was created by him for good works. I have favor with God, favor with man, and a good understanding. We're going to be talking about favor more later. It's powerful. I am chosen by God. God has chosen you. Right, man, you could just preach yourself happy on that one. I have been sanctified and made truly holy. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. I am always on God's mind. He thinks about me constantly. Even before the creation of the world, I was planned. You know, sometimes we think that we weren't necessarily wanted, that we've been abandoned, that we've been rejected. You were planned. The world might not have been ready for you, but God planned you. Amen. You are planned. I am a child of the King, adopted in his family, an heir in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted in the Beloved. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I lack no good thing. Amen. You lack no good thing. That means if you're lacking something, then it's probably not God, right? It's probably not good, right? Because you lack no good thing. It says it right here in the scripture. I have an abundance for every good work. I was predestined by God for success. I am placed and seated with him, a king and a priest, part of a chosen generation and a peculiar people. Some of you really are peculiar. I am blessed coming in and blessed going out. My family is blessed. My flocks are blessed. And everything that I touch prospers. Everything. People are going to want you in their business because you'll bring prosperity. You attract prosperity to their business, right? I am the head and not the tail, above the circumstances and not beneath them. No weapon formed against me can prosper and no plague can come near my dwelling. That's my house or my body. It doesn't have, you know, sickness does not have authority to reign in your members. It doesn't have authority, right? No plague can come near my dwelling and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not angels, not demons, not principalities or powers, nothing inside this world or out of it. Because I am equipped with the full armor of God, packed full of the Holy Spirit, with more than enough power inside of me to raise the dead. You know, when you wake up in the morning, the devil's like, oh no, they're awake. Watch out. More than enough power to heal the sick and cast out devils. My faith can move mountains. My words contain life and death. My life was bought at a price. Jesus covered it. Jesus covered it. Amen. Everything that we're talking about, Jesus covered it. Amen. My days are appointed, my life is protected, angels encamp around me and the blessings of God encircle me, go before me and overtake me. The creator of the universe, my dad, loves me with an everlasting love. He is with me always. He thinks about me constantly. He knows everything about me, even the number of hairs on my head are numbered. For his love for me is inescapable, insurmountable and irrefutable. I'm all around awesome. Just ask my dad. Amen? That is what he says about you. So we have to decide now, that's all from scripture, by the way, which version of us are we going to identify with? Are we going to see ourselves as victors, or are we going to stay in the place of being a victim? Because God has put way too much on the inside of us not to use it. Way too much. You know, I was preparing for this this lesson today, and I asked the Lord, like, where do I start? There is so much and so little time. Where do you even get into this? He said to me, read Matthew 6, the whole chapter of Matthew 6. And as I started to read through, I'm not going to read it now because it would be too long, but as I started to read through Matthew 6, I realized that in that chapter, it's full on of practical information about how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we relate in our relationships, how we see our finances. Okay, it's full of practical information, how we think about our thinking. There's loads of things in there. In Matthew, let's go there. I'm going to pick out a couple of things that I want you to see. Okay, but you should go away and read the whole thing because it's pretty cool. Matthew 6, verse 6 to 8. This is right before where Jesus goes through the model prayer, okay? And he's teaching us how to pray, how to relate to him. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. The Lord told me the bridge to miracles is found in the secret place.
If you enjoyed this teaching, visit our website today to order the complete series, TerraDesMinistries.com.
Wow, wasn't that an awesome teaching from Carly there? Man, that was the word of God. Praise God. I know you've received something good. In fact, if you've received from Carly's teaching today, why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Leave us your testimony, TerraDesMinistries.com. Go on there, press the contact us button, TerraDesMinistries.com. We'd love to hear from you. I know you was blessed. I was certainly blessed by that teaching. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Praise God, an abundant life. And remember, why live the normal life when Jesus has paid for you to live the abundant life? We'll see you next time.
If you have been blessed by this program, we invite you to donate and partner with TerraDes Ministries. Visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, and become a partner today. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Because no one else with $10 million or $20 million mansions criticized him. They didn't care. So I realized the people that get mad at me sometimes with things, it's like, why are they mad at me? It's because they're struggling in that area, or they're resentful, or they've got covetousness operating in them, and things like that. So it's sort of interesting that this will create a lot of criticism. And part of me is always on this line, like, man, the more I teach it, the more criticism I get. But you know what? I can't help it, because here's the bottom line. I hate poverty. I hate lack. Okay? Because lack says you can't do something. The devil will put you in a situation of lack with resources and finances. You can't go and do this. You can't go and bless this person. How many times have you been somewhere and you want to bless someone? Or you see a missionary. Man, I'd love to support that missionary. I'd love to support that ministry. Man, I see this person in line and I'd love to help them. Okay, it's amazing how many times. But if you haven't got the resources to do it, it will say, no, you can't do it.
Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.